Jesus, a name high over all in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus, the name to sinners give, the name to sinners give.
We are going to read God's Word today from Romans chapter 2. If you will notice in reading the Gospels as well as the New Testament letters and the book of Acts, you see that there's often, almost constantly, a conflict with the Jews. And it is not at all a strange thing, because the Jews did not accept Christ as the Messiah. And the Jews were always endeavoring to impose only and always their interpretation of the Old Testament upon the New Testament church. And often, subtly, the Judaizers would harass by infiltrating the assemblies of God's people and endeavor to bring the people under bondage to the ancient ceremonies. And the Apostle Paul is always dealing with this matter of the Jews. He had a very deep burden to see them turn to the true Messiah, but he had to deal with their sins. And so he is in Romans chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 17. Let us notice carefully the scripture reading here. Romans 2 and verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Yeah, they did see a lot of wonderful things in the law, indeed. And we love that as well. Verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. They looked upon themselves as the only true teachers of the nations. And they did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth is God. They did not believe that He is the true teacher alone. Verse 21, Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, that is the Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of the chapter, and we do trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will take up His Word today and bring it home to our hearts to do us good for Jesus' sake. Now, I would relieve your minds and let you know that we are not covering the circumcision today. And all of this section we will save for later. But we are looking today for our text, verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. Brand names are very important to a lot of people. Young people want to wear names on their clothing oftentimes. Names like American Eagle and Polo and Ralph Lauren and the North Face. They want things that are clearly marked with symbols like Swiss Army and Samsung and Honda and Toyota or Eddie Bauer. Now, not only many young people and young adults, but even many older folks are not at home. They're not at all comfortable without displaying certain name brands on what they wear, on what they eat, and even on their vehicles. Well, some of us couldn't care less. And we're actually a little self-conscious and embarrassed to wear a name brand on something that we have given to us, perhaps. We even sometimes remove those popular names from our clothing because some of us only think as we grew up, we realized that it was Minnie Pearl who wore the tags, the Grand Ole Opry. So we are not terribly, some of us of the older generation are not so fond of labels. Well, we are very content and satisfied with what Walmart and Dollar General have to offer us. But all brands aside, I counsel you today to make certain that you get the true, the genuine, and the definite article of real heart religion. Vital living Christianity. A conscious, loving, and living relationship with the triune God through Jesus Christ alone. The Apostle Paul was very burdened to reach the religious Jews with the saving gospel. In these opening chapters of Romans, he endeavored to answer every question and to remove each objection of his fellow countrymen, as well as to persuade the Gentiles of the salvation there is in Christ. In verses 21 to 24, the apostle is directly addressing the Jews. But let's think for a moment. It's not just for the Jews. There is very clearly an application to each one of us today, as well as to the Jews. The Lord laid His all-knowing and His almighty conviction on three particular areas of Hebrew sin in verses 21 through 24. There are three areas in particular. The Jews' hypocrisy, first of all. The Jews' iniquity, and He lists three of those iniquities. And then the Jews' blasphemy. They were guilty of bringing blasphemy upon His name by the way that they lived. So let us consider these things carefully. First of all, the Jews' hypocrisy. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, "Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal?" What is He saying? He is saying that you must practice what you preach. The Jew's name related the Jew to the divine law. The Jews knew the revealed will of God in the Old Testament scriptures, and they assumed very self-confidently that they were the ones not only on the top of the food chain, they were on top of the world. They alone had the light. They alone could teach it to the dark and ignorant nations on earth. Yet God had somewhat against them. They who were enabled to teach the nations refused their own instructions. What did He ask there in verse 21? "Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself?" The teachers of the blind were willfully blind themselves. The instructors of the foolish had become fools themselves. You can look at the verses above that. They thought in verse 20 they were the instructors of the foolish, the teacher of babes. And in verse 19, "A light to them in darkness, a guide of the blind." And yet they were blind themselves. They were like those who beat their children for cursing. And all the while they're beating them, they're blaspheming themselves. Here is the guilt of hypocrisy. A hypocrite is on wonderful terms with himself. A hypocrite is a religious person who flatters himself as though he were good and godly. He's self-satisfied and unconscious of any deficiency in himself. He has never imagined that anything is wrong with them. As the apostle says here, these people were proud and confident and boastful. They were very boastful that it was their law that God had given to them. If only everyone was like them, the world would be so much a better place. Well, such teachers and preachers are not applying their lessons and their sermons to themselves. Who would want to believe such teachers and preachers who do not believe and practice their own doctrine? Such leaders pull down by their living what they build up by their teaching. Actions speak louder than words. I remember when I was a very young person working with a preacher, and I lost all confidence in him because we were working on a little project and he was overcome with anger, and he had a pair of pliers or vice grips. I can't remember what it was, but in anger, he flung them. I don't know what they hit, but I was glad they didn't hit me. Now, I have to say I lost tremendous lot of respect for that man at that moment. Paul had been a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were much more orthodox than either the Sadducees or the Essenes. And yet, they were hypocrites. Christ was almost always either offending or rebuking the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. Thomas Chalmers commented on this. Here's what he said. You can be thoroughly conversant with all the teachings of orthodoxy without any real sanctification in your life. You can be a sturdy, staunch, and zealous controversialist without one true affection or love for Christ Jesus. You can be satisfied with much knowledge in your head without regeneration in your life. William Plumer was an old Southern Presbyterian, great man of God, and he wrote, "The human heart is so deceitful, it can pervert knowledge into pride and arrogance." The Jews were proud of their Judaism. Professing Christians can be just as proud and self-satisfied with their supposed orthodoxy. Well, there's the first point. The Jews' hypocrisy. Secondly, we come to the Jews' iniquity. Notice here in verses 21 and 22. At the end of verse 21, "Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God?" Oh, the basic meaning of iniquity. I call this the Jews' iniquity because one of the Greek words for iniquity is anomos, and it is without law, lawlessness. Lawlessness is not measuring up to the law's demands. The law demands respect of property, no stealing. The law demands purity, no adultery or sexual uncleanness. The law demands reverence for God and rejection of idols and idolatry. Yet the Lord makes it clear that the Jews were doing the very things that the law forbid. The very things that the Jews taught against, they were doing. Now, how is that? Jesus brought it down to a very spiritual level in dealing with them. They were stealing from poor widows. The Pharisees, by pretense, in long prayers, devoured widows' houses. That is, what the widows had, their wealth. Matthew 23, verse 14. They were not only stealing in that way, we're going to notice other ways of stealing, but they were committing adultery by granting divorces for almost any flimsy reason or cause. Matthew 19 and verse 3. And Jesus said, no, there's only one. There's only one biblical cause. And that is immorality. They were committing adultery by granting and receiving divorces for almost any little flimsy reason. She burns the toast every morning. I don't like the way that she flavors the omelet. All these crazy things. You think that's silly, but if you read the Hebrew Talmud, there were things just as stupid as that. And they would grant divorces for it. And they who hated idolatry were just as guilty by not loving God supremely. The three sins listed in verses 21 and 22 give us three-dimensional sin. Sin against others, sin against ourselves, and sin against God. I want you to notice very carefully the three-dimensional sins of these poor, benighted Jews. First of all, against others. Stealing is committed generally against some other human being, stealing in that sense. And then the sin against self, adultery or sexual sin, is against one's own body. The Spirit of God tells us through Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:18, when someone commits an act of sexual uncleanness. It's against their own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. And then sin against God. Verse 22, there it is. Sacrilege. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? This is a sin directly against God. It is the failure to love and worship God truly. All sin is against God implicitly and indirectly. But this sin is against God explicitly and directly, because it is one of the first four of the commandments. The first table of the law has to do with sin against God. The second table, sin against man. And they were committing sacrilege. We're going to see how they did that. Now we come thirdly to the Jews' blasphemy. We have quickly looked at their hypocrisy and their iniquity. Now notice verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And there's a verse in Isaiah. There's a verse in Ezekiel. And there's a verse in 2 Samuel about by their wickedness, God's name was being dragged through the dirt and blasphemed among the nations. By their hypocrisy and by their failure to keep the law of which they boasted, they caused the holy name of Almighty God to be blasphemed. Now, sadly, this was accomplished in two ways. I want you to note how they accomplished the blaspheming of God's Almighty name. Two ways. First of all, God is holy. And they preached that their God is holy. Yet by their filthy immoralities, even the heathen were appalled and said of the Hebrews, how can their God be holy when the Israelites are so unclean? 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. God said, David, because of your sin, you've given cause for the ungodly to blaspheme. And the same thing is true through the Old Testament prophets, condemning the filthiness of the Israelites because it left a horrible impression on the nations round about as they saw how much worse they were than even the nations, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So God's holy name, He was viewed as unholy since the Israelites were so unclean. The second way is in God's almighty nature. He's not only holy, He's almighty. He's all-powerful. Yet when the heathen saw Israel judged, humiliated, and taken as captives into other lands as a judgment upon their sin, it was natural for the heathen to conclude and to blaspheme by saying, their God obviously doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any might or strength. He is unable to deliver His people who are in such a miserable condition. So they blaspheme God by saying God cannot be holy. God cannot be almighty. And even to this day, the apostasy of the Jews, their atheism, and their rejection of their only Messiah contributes to the blaspheming of Jehovah's great name. Now we have come to the end of our text. And these solemn truths certainly apply to us and to our living today as they did to the Jews then. The Jews were not at all practicing what they were preaching. If a teacher or preacher of God's Word does not first apply the truth and the lessons he is studying and preparing to his own life, then his ministry is empty and worthless. We as Christians profess to believe in God's Word. But if we do not live according to what we believe, then we are simply being hypocrites. The Jews knew their law, And as Christians, you can know lots of doctrine. But unless it has a real impact on how you live, how you think, your profession is empty and useless. Such a profession calls into question any real possession of God and Christ in your life. Profession of religion, or even profession of a biblical and historical creed of orthodoxy, does not save anyone. Only faith in Christ that produces a changed life is acceptable to God. Now, whether they were aware of it or not, the Jews were often breaking God's law when they thought they were keeping it. And it's exactly the same with us. We sometimes entertain high thoughts about ourselves, don't we? How good Christians we are. And we sometimes forget that even as believers, we still have a proneness to wander, a proneness to sin. Our hearts at times deceive us. We don't think of ourselves as thieves, do we? When's the last time you thought of yourself as a thief? Yet we take from God an abundance of resources. His good providence, His protection, His preservation of our lives, His good gifts of food and drink, air to breathe, exercise and health, work and rest. We take from His abundance and then we turn right around and use it all to sin against Him. Even by refusing to love Him with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength, we steal. And yet we preach against it, which we should. Is it true of us what Malachi asked? Will a man rob God in tithes and offerings? We not only break God's law by abusing His blessings, but look at verse 22. See what he asked. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Are not Christians guilty at times of impure and unclean thoughts? Jesus dealt with this matter in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, dealing with our thinking, what's in our minds. We abhor idols and we preach against them, yet we have given the place of priority. We have given the place of preeminence. We have given the place of supremacy in our hearts many times to things and to persons other than to God Himself. Is not that a very real idolatry when God Triune does not have the preeminence? When He is not first. He is not supreme. But we put other things and other persons ahead of Him. Thirdly, the Jews lived so disgracefully through the millennia of time that God says His name was blasphemed among the heathen because of the Jews' sin. And what has been said of church members? And what has been said of those who regularly attend the house of God? The searching radar of God's Word finds us right where we are. Have we not sinned in our attitudes? Even the attitude of ingratitude. Others have seen our responses to our trials. And others have not always heard good words from our lips. Our wrong actions have been noticed by non-Christians, and we have failed to point them to Jesus. What can we do? Remember what Jesus said. Ye are the salt of the earth. And what does salt do? Salt makes you have to get a drink. You know? Salt makes you thirsty. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. It is God's purpose for us to so live that others will be thirsty and say, I want that for my life. May they see our light and our good works so that our Father in heaven may be glorified. God is so good to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness through Christ's blood. Let us be humbled by facing our sins, by honestly confessing our sins, and by loving God from scripturally broken hearts. When we read our Bibles and we come to passages such as reading about the Pharisees, I think it would be good for us to do what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said he did. When he came to read about the Pharisees, he would say, "That's me! Let me see now. What is it saying about me? And what am I going to learn from this?" Let us ask the Holy Spirit to search us with the Scriptures every day as we read them. Do not be content just to bear the brand name Christian, but make sure that you are the real, genuine, definite article, that you are truly in Christ. Let us pray together. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us the truth about Thee and the truth about ourselves. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause the Word to sink down deeply into our ears and into our hearts. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt cause the work of Christ and His Spirit to produce reality in the godly sense in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.